Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hello, welcome back into the podcast that we like to call From the Podium, where you hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm host and audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Steven Serta. On Friday, the Chiefs took the practice field once again to continue their preparation for Super Bowl 57 against the Philadelphia Eagles. We heard from offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo, special teams coordinator Dave Tobe, cornerback Trent McDuffie, cornerback Jalen Watson, and kicker Harrison Butker. We'll go in that order, starting with Eric Bieniemy, followed by Steve Spagnuolo, then Dave Tobe. After that, we'll take a quick timeout. When we get back, we'll wrap things up with Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson, and Harrison Butker. Here's Eric Bieniemy.
Talk to you guys, especially after a courageous, tough team win. I thought our coaching staff did a hell of a job of getting our players ready for that game. But the thing that stood out was the young players that we've been working with all season long. Just having those guys prepared to be at their best when their very best was needed due to all the injuries that took place. And like I said, I just thought it was a great team victory. But however, you know, we got one more to go. So our guys are excited. The energy is where it needs to be. And we're just getting ready. The journey continues. With that said, I'm all ears. Biggest challenge is making sure we can get lined up, okay? I have to talk about this because this just goes to show you the growth of this kid. There was a moment in time throughout that game when we threw Sky in the game, and Sky had to play a number of positions. And I was talking to him about a particular play, and he yelled at me and said a few words to me. You know, I'm not going to mumble those words, but it went something like, you know, you just put me in. Just tell me the personnel, and I'm going to make it right. I said, fellas, we're going to be okay. So that was good to see. And the thing is, yes, our guys will be ready, you know, and I'm talking about our players. Our guys are doing a heck of a job of preparing themselves. But we have a tremendous coaching staff who's very, very resilient. And we're going to utilize our best personnel to our advantage so we can go out there and be as effective and efficient as possible. Well, Marcus Kemp has always been an outstanding professional football player for us. He's one of our top special teams players. Every time Kemp is on the field, he finds a way to make plays. And Kemp, that's why we keep Kemp in the building. Kemp is just a tremendous, first of all, he's a tremendous person. All right. Then on top of that, he's the ultimate professional. And then he brings a leadership to that room. I mean, he helped Sky throughout the course of the game, but then he just steps up. Makes a catch here. He's getting lined up. He's making key critical blocks for us. So I'm not shocked or surprised. But that's a, you know, we need to make sure that we give credit where credit is due. Joe Blamire's done a hell of a job with those guys all season.
But you got your very goal against a defense that totals 70 sacks on the regular season. What are some of the challenges for you as an offensive guy to kind of slow down that pass rush?
You know, I don't know if you slow him down. You just got to make sure that you find ways to keep the quarterback upright. But, I mean, it's going to be a challenge. And, I mean, those guys, they do a hell of a job. And, I mean, that second wave of guys who they have that coming in are very good. I mean, when we're still talking about Ndamukong Suh playing and still playing at a high level, that's very impressive. And so those guys have done an outstanding job all year long. But on top of that, we got five guys up front, you know, that take a tremendous amount of pride in keeping our quarterback upright. So they understand the challenge. They know exactly what is expected of them. And this is just one of those games. It's going to be one in the paint. And so whoever's going to knuckle down for 60 consecutive minutes or more and making sure that we're straining the finish, if we're doing those little things, like I said, I like our chances. But is it going to be a challenge? Yes, it is.
Coach, how much does Isaiah Grant
Brown as a pass protector, just with that in mind, and being able to be there?
Well, first of all, Coach Greg Lewis has done a great job of teaching him, getting him to understand and see the big picture. Because, you know, at that position, you want the best football player that happens to be a hell of a running back playing in that position, especially in all the things that we're asking our guys to do. And so I'm proud of the way that he stepped up. Greg has done a great job, but on top of that, Pacheco has just taken everything in, and he's gravitating towards the old lineman. He's understanding calls. I think also, too, Jerick McKinnon has done an outstanding job of helping him as well. We've got a good nucleus of guys in that room. And I know this name hasn't been mentioned in a while, but Clyde has done a great job of helping him. And that's the beauty about the team that we have. There is no particular person here that don't help in any way. All of our guys understand the importance of making sure that our guys know what to do. So if coaches are to the side, players are coaching each other up, making sure that they know exactly what's going on, because you never know when that player might be called upon, and we're going to need that player to be at their best. But he's done a great job.
Eric, what is it about when you face top defenses? You had a lot of success, basically, when you played San Francisco and Buffalo. You had some success against them. What is it about when you're playing a better team like the Eagles, who have a top-ranked defense? What is it about you guys that just makes you elevate to the extra notch against them?
It's always about the challenge. And like I said, we know, 70-plus sacks, these guys are pretty damn good. You know, that's an offensive coordinator's nightmare. But the challenge is just making sure that we're being accountable to one another. And so it's our job as a coaching staff to make sure that we're putting our guys in the right position so they can be at their best. But on top of that, we're going to put ownership on our guys, making sure that they can go out there and effectively go out there and do what they need to do in order for us to get it done. So the accountability, guys understand their roles. They understand that, hey, when we're playing against the best, we have to be at our best. The extra film study has to take place. Always tell them before you leave the building, make sure your heart, mind, body, and soul, make sure you get everything answered, every question that you need addressed or anything that you need done in the weight room or training room, just to make sure that you're giving yourself the best opportunity to be at your best on game day. So I think more than anything, our guys really understand the importance of just being accountable to one another.
Eric Indy said yesterday that the Pat came through the game pretty well. Obviously, you get the extra week, but obviously you're installing the game plan this week. I just wonder, do you feel like the full menu of the playbook is available to you based on how he came through last week's game, or are you still sort of trying to figure out what is obviously good and comfortable for him based on obviously his ankle?
I think it's a mix of both, but we want to make sure that everything that we're putting in, that we can bring it into next week's game. And so you guys know Pat. Pat's not going to shy away from anything. And it's our job more than anything to protect him from himself. And so our job is to make sure that we're putting together the right game plan that's going to help us to be at our best. But on top of that, making sure that we're looking out for Pat in the meantime. So we're not going to change anything. We know that Pat will be at his best when his best is needed. You guys know him. He's a competitor. He's not going to shy away from anything.
You've obviously done this week before, but how does this week compare to your preparation and what goes into next week for you?
Well, I mean, first of all, this week is huge because we're treating this week just like we're playing a game on Sunday. So today is like a typical Thursday practice for us. Situational day, third down, short yardage, goal line. We're practicing situations, and tomorrow will be like a Friday practice where we do red zone and a review of everything. So we're treating it just like a typical game week as if we were playing on Sunday. And then next week we hit the reset button. Now it's all about reviewing, making sure that our guys are on the same page. Now it ain't about us basically explaining to them. It's all about those guys making sure that they have a complete understanding of what we want to accomplish. Also understanding the schemes in which we're going to be facing, the coverages in which we're anticipating, the blitzes which we're anticipating seeing. So it's all about making sure that we get everything loaded up in their minds so they're prepared to play this Sunday. But then when we hit that reset button, now everything is just memorization. Hey, here's what I'm expecting. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do it. This is what this guy is doing. So it gives us an additional week. All right. Thank you.
My watch is probably off. Right at 12. So what do you say? What do you say then? Good noontime or something? All right. Certainly happy to be here and be, doing football for another couple of weeks. Really happy with the way the guys played last week. We're well or knee-deep into the preparation for this one. Just got done with a walkthrough and got some work to do this afternoon. But with that, I'll open it up.
It was a long time ago, but what was kind of going through your mind when Legarius goes down?
Ooh. Well, certainly I was, because it happened right in front of me, and I was very concerned for him. And then when I kind of looked over as he was on the ground, I knew he was pretty shook, so I was concerned for him. But yeah, then it was just get the next guy in there. We adjusted a little bit. I mean, part of the game plan changed, if I'm being truly honest. There were some things we couldn't do after that. But I will say this, the guys have stepped up in there. And then we lost Willie at some point, and Darius went in there and did a great job. But, you know, the guys didn't blink. They went out there and executed whatever we called, and that was pretty impressive.
Than you maybe anticipated you would, like,
in the game, Adam, or in
over, whole
yeah, yeah. We didn't really know what to expect. I mean, look at when you draft somebody in the first round. You know, there's some higher expectations there, and I feel like Trent has met them in what he's done. And we know he was out for a long stretch too. I always think that's pretty impressive when you miss that much time as a rookie, and then you can get back in the swing of things. And Trent has not only played the corner position, but he's played nickel. And the other guys were a little bit unknown, although what we liked about them and what Brett identified was the length and some speed and some traits. And, you know, I think the coaches have done it. Dave Merritt and Donald have done a great job with those guys to get them ready to play. And so haven't the players. I mean, they embraced it. Brian Cook has been tremendous in terms of, I mean, he's passionate about football. That's the one thing that stuck out right from the beginning. And we need as many passionate football players on our squad as we can get. What do you mean? Yeah, he's one of them guys that eats, drinks, loves it. You know, I mean, what I like about him is if I'm standing there talking to someone else in the secondary, he's standing right there listening. Like he's a sponge. He wants it all. He wants to embrace it all. I think that's a good thing, especially at the safety position.
Coach, in your initial look,
yeah, the talent is in the players, number one, the scheme, number two, and then when you put a quarterback in there that can do the things he can do, that makes it really tough to defend. I mean, anytime, you know, you're asked to defend, let's not count the offensive line for right now, six of them that can run it or can get the ball, it's tougher than just the five. You know, some quarterbacks we play are not going to run the football. So you take that out of your thinking. The pass rush is a little bit different. Maybe the edge run support's a little bit different, but when the quarterback can do what this quarterback can do, it brings in a lot more different issues. I mean, you got to be on point with scheme. The player's got to be on point with responsibility, and you can see when that doesn't happen, and with people that they play, they expose them.
Coach, I know McDuffie kind of shifts around outside of nickel, but you know he stepped in the nickel when Steve was down. Was that originally the plan against the Bengals?
Yeah, he was going to be inside from the beginning, and LJ was going to be outside. It was going to probably stay that way most of the game. There were some things in there where we had LJ moving back inside, but yeah, we were out of that the minute LJ got hurt. But Trent had worked inside most of the week. That was kind of the plan.
Steve, everybody knows about Andy's connection to Philadelphia, but
yeah.
Your own. I think earlier this year you talked about obviously visiting Big Charlie's, but
yeah.
What do you particularly, I guess, appreciate about Philadelphia, and what does that city mean to you?
Well, I married a Philly gal. Maria's from Philly. We still have a place there. So there's a real strong connection. And as far as the Eagles, I mean, Jeff Lurie is one of the greatest owners I've ever worked for, and I think Andy will tell you the same thing. You know, from the top down, it's such a strong, good organization. Howie, everybody there. A lot of respect for it. I mean, I'm back in Philadelphia quite often. My in-laws live there, and Maria's still does some work there. she keeps working because she's a hard worker. So there's a lot of connection, and you're right about the Charlie's Saloon. We love those people over there.
Coach, when you lose a Super Bowl, does it change how you approach this week?
You're talking about having lost the other one. I try not to do some of the things you did when you lost. I think all of the – I've been fortunate to be in whether this is four or five. And, you know, anytime you do something more and more, I think you get more experienced at it. So I think myself and Andy that have been through them, we draw on that experience. I dove into – I'm a journal guy, so I keep journals. And I dove into the journal from 2019 because 2020 was a little different, as we all know, right? We didn't go there for the whole week before. And there were some things in there I took a look at and said, hey, we'll change this and that. But I'm hoping that can benefit from that, yeah.
Steve, can you describe just the way that the Eagles' version of the RPO pressure?
Yeah, I mean, it's there's a lot of college football aspects to it. In any of this RPO option football game, to me, when the quarterback is as good as he is and can always make his play right, versus whatever he's seeing, that's really challenging. You know, and there are some quarterbacks, I mean, certainly at the college level, that can do RPO, but aren't really good at drop back passing, let's say. But he can do all that. You know, he's pretty well-rounded, and then you add in the ability to make the defense look wrong by pulling it, throwing it, whatever. That makes it real, real challenging.
Steve, we've seen a lot of good grades from all these places about what Chris did the other night. I wonder internally, how good was he for you guys in your internal grading, and maybe how important is he particularly in defending this next offense?
Yeah, I thought Chris was dominant and real disruptive in the pass game we played, and we needed that. That we know how elite that quarterback is. It almost feels like this is the complete reverse of what we're facing now, because it was pretty pass-dominated what we just played. This is a little bit more run-dominated, although when you watch the Philadelphia Eagles, they're a very balanced football team in terms of in run and pass, and they're really good at running the football even on third down. But I think Chris, we're glad we have him. He can make a big difference in a lot of things, and you know he can be disruptive in the run game too. You just got to get in the right spot, and hopefully we got the right defense called against whatever they're running offensively.
Coach, with having Frank, you know, on the end in that zone read game, do you feel like he's kind of the perfect outlier just to kind of disrupt that?
Yeah, I think I think all four of our ends, with the way we play them, have to be dead on against this offense. I once visited with college coaches. When this RPO option game started to make its way into the NFL, I went to college coaches that I knew that were running it, offensive coaches, and asked them what they didn't like to see, what they attacked, and I remember one of them telling me that the first thing they looked at was the ends. How do the ends play? You know, do they bite? Can you get them to give them a lot of eye candy? You know, they threaten them. They kick them out. They log them. They crack them. The quarterback comes out and runs on them. So I'm hoping our four guys can handle all that because Philadelphia gives you everything. Give it all.
Like Coach, you mentioned that this is a run-heavy offense, but the two receivers there, A.J.
Yeah, that's why I say it's balanced. I mean, it feels run-heavy for the NFL, you know.
I was just going to ask, what are the intangibles to those two?
Yeah.
Stand out to you?
They put you in a bind because, everybody knows the numbers game. You all been around football long enough to say if you pack them in the box, you leave two really elite wide receivers all by themselves on. That's tough on any corner or any safety or any nickel. And that's where I think they've opened up their whole game playbook-wise, offensively. We got those two guys, and we faced them a year ago, but A.J. wasn't there. That adds a whole nother element to it and opens things up. It's obvious why they did it, and they're reaping the benefits.
Last one. There was some, you know, talk at the end of the season that tackling gets a little bit more, maybe more difficult and was a little more challenging, but it wasn't a problem last
year. Yeah, I thought the guys.
What's kind of key to that?
Maybe there's intent. Maybe the what's on the line gets a little bit. The guy, but I agree with you. I thought the tackling was really good. It seems like in this league, the tackling gets better as the season goes on. We know what it's like at the beginning because you're not doing much of it. Certainly in practice and preseason and then in the games, you know, our veterans don't play a whole heck of a lot in preseason. So it takes a whole foundation. You know, you can be a corner and go a whole game without really having a tackle. You know, you go two games like that, and it's been a while, you get a little rusty. But I think you know, we've had enough of a foundation of, you know, facing runs and passes and tackling completions and all that, that we've gotten better. And I agree with you. I do think they tackled pretty good last week. I hope we do the same thing in this game.
Thanks,
we're good?
All right. Thanks.
Let's go. Let's go.
It was so good to see, you know, redemption for him. You know, he worked so hard. Like after we put him on the bench, I mean, he didn't give up. You know, he just kept coming to practice and working on his catching. And I mean, I told him just the other day, just maybe a week and a half before that game, I said, man, I said, you are doing great here in practice. I mean, his confidence was getting better and better, and when we needed him most, he stepped it up and did a great job for us. I mean, I couldn't be more happy for the kid, and I couldn't be more happy for the group. You know, the guys have been working hard. The other 10 guys out there on the field have been working and blocking things up and doing it all year, and we finally got some payback.
Dave, you said after the game that he went to the point where he didn't really want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
What did you tell him then?
He didn't say it to me. He said it to somebody else. But he said, "Don't put me in there," you know. So I mean, obviously we took him to the limit. I mean, basically on that, and you know, that's not why we didn't put him. We already had decided at that point, you know, that he needed to sit down for a minute.
You
but
guys have made the decision before.
Yes, but he did. You know, he came to that. You know, and the good thing is, you know, he's being honest. I mean, he's being honest. He's telling you how he feels. So that's important. I mean, the guy's not going out there and feeling like he can't do it, and you're throwing him in there anyway.
What do you guys do to build him up? Then?
Well, I mean, that's the start right there. I mean, that was a great game. I mean, an important game, championship game. You know, to do what he did and come through like he did for us when we needed him most.
What do you feel like Butker's range would have been on a game?
Yeah, that's a good question because, you know, we were at the 37, 38-yard line, and normally, in a situation, you know, where it's not that cold or windy, you know, we go ahead and crank that thing and go up by three and then make them do what they have to do there. But that situation was definitely a field position deal. There was no hesitation at all, you know, between Coach and I. You know, we punted it and we played field position. And the way our defense was playing, it was a no-brainer, really. You know, defense was playing great. We stopped them, got the ball back, and you know, and Tommy had a great punt. I mean, that was another good thing too. He was on in that game, and you know, put it on the 6-yard line. So that was perfect.
What about the one at the end? How long were you prepared to kick that one?
Oh, the one at the end, we probably would have went a little bit further. You know, yeah, I think it would have been in the 50s. You know,
the game, he thought maybe 55. I was watching.
Sure, at that point in the game, yeah. I mean, you're gonna win the game. So
were those conditions? I was watching him in pregame, and I think he came up short that way from like 53.
He made 53, and he was short of 55. We tried a couple 55 on. Yeah, it was tough for, you know, for him not making a 55. That, you know, our line was a 35-yard line, so we'd make a 53. That was a spot that we felt comfortable during the game. At the end of the game, when you're going for a game winner, at the end of a half, you go a little bit further.
You mentioned the word redemption, and Coach also mentioned it after the game. As far as Butker is concerned, how gratifying was it for you that he was able to go out there and nail that?
It was great for me as a coach. I mean, that's what you try to strive for. You want to see your guys succeed, so I was happy. You know, I was happy with that.
Dave, when it comes to playing in Arizona, you know, the first week what happened with Harrison Butker, a little more relief that George Toman.
Yeah, what was that? How many weeks ago was that? 23 weeks ago? 23 weeks ago.
But how much relief do you have that George Toman is in charge of the field now as opposed to week one with Arizona?
Yeah, I know. I you know, for the Super Bowl, they're going to have a beautiful field. We know that. So, you know, that field that we played on, they had practice. They had preseason games. There was some high school games on it before we played on it. So there was a lot of things going on before we played. That's not going to be the case now. So, I mean, we know the field is going to be pristine for us.
But this is obviously a good problem. But if Kadarius is back up, does he go back in the punt return, or is this guy agree?
Yeah, he's our guy. He's our go-to guy. You know, he's our number one. You know, and then we'll see. I mean, obviously, Sky helped himself. You know, obviously, but you know, we're not going to just throw him right back in there again. I mean, he did a great job coming off the bench. We'll keep him in that role. Yeah, Tommy, all year long, he's given us the flip the field punts too, as well. I mean, all year long. I mean, that's why he made the Pro Bowl. But in those situations, there, a touchback would really hurt you. I mean, that extra 15, 14 yards, whatever we picked up right there, by pinning him down there, was huge. You know, for our defense, that's a whole series. You know, to get to that point, you know, would have took him to get to the 20. You know, so he came through for us in a big way.
Coach, on Sky's return, in addition to him, you had numerous rookies blocking it up, guys like Cook.
Yes.
How satisfying is that as a coach?
Oh, it's tremendous. We watched it today, so, I mean, it's fresh in my mind. We watched it, and we saw some rookies, like Jack Cochran took his guy and just drove him off the field and flat-backed him. I mean, he was one of their key players. And I just told him, I said, you guys are not. I mean, look at this. You are not rookies anymore. I mean, you guys have arrived. So, I mean, that's what we feel.
Right. Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Yep.
And to get hurt and going back to that stadium. I just want to know what your emotions were. First game as a rookie, can't finish it, then you lose a bunch of weeks of playing time. How did you get through that?
Yeah, that was honestly one of the hardest things I've had to do just in sports. I never had an injury that affected me for such a long period and disabled me pretty much for so long. So during that process, I think the biggest thing that helped me was just sticking to the consistency of just the everyday, you know, going to meetings, showing up to practice, just acting like I was playing every week, but just the positivity that was surrounded by me, whether it was family and friends, whether it was coming into this building with coaches and players just constantly lifting me up, they really just allowed me to stay confident through the whole thing and come back like I never left.
Trent, looking back on your rookie year, the injury aside, this season, how would you say, this season met your expectations? Equaled your expectations? You had bigger expectations? How would you put that?
Honestly, I feel like this season was a huge learning curve for me, especially coming, getting hurt, and then missing a bunch of games and coming back halfway through the season. For me, it was just trying to learn something each and every week, each and every day, because as rookies coming in, we don't really know the game. We don't know the speed of it. A lot of things are new to us, scheduling-wise, all the way to football. So
trying to just keep an open mind, trying to just constantly learn from the vets, learn from other rookies. Was something that I took pride in this year, and I think is the reason why it's helped me so much just throughout the year, consistently getting better, because I just felt like it was my duty to try to match everybody else as quickly as possible when I came back. So that's kind of just how I wired myself throughout the season.
Trent, we've asked you about this during the season, but you guys are four rookies, especially when LJ went down.
Yeah. Yeah, it's special, especially since, you know, you can understand what it took for us to get here. Coming in as a huge group, knowing that there was a lot of obligations, a lot of things that these guys wanted out of us, and we kind of just took and ran with it. Everybody came together. I remember in OTAs, there were so many days where at the end of the night, it was just all the rookies together just going over and over and over, playbook, language, because to us it was all new. It was difficult, you know, Spags playbook, but I think the biggest thing was just we just continued to push each other and continue to just be those guys to be like, you know what, we got your back. Yeah, you may have a bad play. You may make a mistake out there. But at the end of the day, it's a brotherhood, and I think we really all just stuck together really well.
Was it just rookies in the room, or were you with a veteran or a coach or something? You're talking about that.
No, that was just rookies. That was just the rookie all defense. I mean, linebackers, D-line, DBs, just coming together and being like, we got to learn this before practice tomorrow, because practice was hectic because nobody knew what we were doing. So we were like, we got to come together and figure this out before we go out there so we can actually do something for the team.
Who led that study group? Or is something that y'all just collectively came together and said, we got
to
do this?
Yeah. Honestly, it was kind of just everybody was like, we need to do this. I feel like it really just talks about just the character that all these guys have. Everybody kind of came in with the same mindset that you don't really get all the time. It was just like, you know what, we're here together, so let's go do this together. And shoot, it's been working out really great for us.
Adding on to that, Trent, what about the bond or the relationship where you feel like you learned about your teammates the most, maybe as more as people than just obviously football players?
Yeah, wait, repeat that one more time.
What do you feel like you learned most about your rookie teammates as people?
Yeah.
Just obviously.
Yeah. Honestly, something that I learned very early on is that everybody here is very accepting. No matter who you are, the person that you came here as, your character, everybody was just like, you know what, that's you, it's cool. Like, we accept you for you. And everybody also does a good job of just teaching each other, communicating, saying, yo, maybe I'll do this in this situation. And one thing that I took that, honestly, in college I didn't do much, but a lot of the rookies asked a lot of questions to the vets and the coaches, and I feel like that really helped just overall development of the game. I was one of those kids who didn't like to talk a lot, you know, wasn't the one to jump in front of the classroom and ask all these questions, but just being in a group where questions are constantly asked, you kind of adapt to it and kind of broke me out of my shell, and it's helped me tremendously.
What kind of credit do you guys give to Coach Merritt? He was singing all of your praises, called you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Early on in camp, just what's he been like for you throughout this entire process?
Yeah, I mean, shoot, Coach Merritt's been kind of just like that big brother, that father figure who has to take all these young guys with all these different mindsets and ambitions and get them all on the same page to go out there and play as one. And I think he did a great job at just allowing the vets truly take control of the room and not have him up there and just be like, this is me, but be like, this is y'all team. I'm here to show you, lead you the way, and provide help. But he really just allowed us to be us, and I think that's the best thing he could have done for us.
Well, we know Philly's dynamic, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert. What do you see as the X factor in slowing them down, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think one is going to be stopping the run. I think a big thing we have to do is just tackle. You know, a big thing in this game, missed tackles can lead to leaky yardage, and that's what Spags really talks about, especially in these later games. But I think it's just come down to just making plays on the ball at the end of the day. We know the ball is going to be – Jalen Hurts is going to take his shots. They have good receivers who can make plays, so it's going to be on the back end to stop the ball when they throw it.
Thanks, everybody.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Yeah, appreciate it.
Jalen, you're not a rookie anymore. I guess that's the MO now. Do you agree with that? You don't feel like a rookie anymore?
Yeah, that's what the coach has told us ever since the, you know, postseason's been here. All the rookies been thrown in the fire pretty early in the season. So the game's a lot slower to us. We've developed a lot. We learned the playbook moving a lot faster.
What have the veterans told you about this week and trying to block out distractions and just play the game?
The same thing has been all playoffs. You know, just focus on what's going on in the building. Try to stay off social media and not, you know, listen to what all the critics got to say.
There's a sequence at the end of the first half where you kept Higgins in bounds, the clock kept rolling, the very next play, you defended a fade in his direction. Can you walk us through that and why you're ready for that moment?
I know. They're going to try to get out of bounds. If they did make a big play, the play clock, I mean, the rest of the half, the time was limited. So he caught a ball, and I seen him trying to get out of bounds. So my intuition just kicked in and tried to keep him in bounds. And the next play, I knew they're going to try to hurry up and make a play, take a shot in the end zone. So play outside leverage on the fade, made a play on the ball.
Jalen, took your portion of the season with the broken hand. Just how tough was that to push through, and how do you feel like you were able to make so many big plays?
It wasn't that tough. You know, it's a moment I dreamed of, so anything I could do to help the team, you know, get a win, I'll try my best, and that's what I did. The training staff, they did a great job, you know, helping me with my hand, and once I step on the field, I'm just ready to play.
Spags talked about what a big part of the game plan Legarius was going to be. When he goes down, what was kind of going through your mind, and what's your conversation with your fellow defensive backs about how you kind of got to pull together there?
Yeah, we got confidence in the whole cornerback room, and LJ is a great corner. He leads us, and we just knew it was going to be next man up. So Josh stepped in, he did a great job, and he was ready.
How much do you and your other rookie teammates relish the feeling of being able to be on such a big stage where it is the four of you guys now, you know, both in the AFC title and the Indian Super Bowl?
What rookies? No, I'm just playing. But it's a great feeling, you know, playing at the biggest stage our first year. But like I said, this is what we all dreamed of since we were kids. So we just take it one play at a time. Don't get too high. Don't get too low.
I know there's a lot of talk about Philadelphia's offense. You guys have gotten a little bit of a look at what they're doing now. A lot of pressure on the linebackers and defensive linemen in the quarterback run game, but probably a little bit for you guys as well on reading those RPOs. Just give us a little synopsis of what maybe different responsibilities you'll have this week compared to – like last week, when it's pretty much just going to be a passing offense out of the quarterback.
Yeah, it's just going to be important everyone do their job. It's just as simple as that. They got a great receiving core, you know, great O-line, just a great overall team top to bottom. So we're going to come in, everyone do their job, fly around, have fun, let the rest handle itself.
Jalen, what makes Dave Merritt a good coach, in your opinion?
His leadership on and off the field, trying to make us better men. And he always preaches all the vets and all the rookies, we hold each other accountable. So that's a big thing. And he's just a great, outgoing, loud dude. You always hear him when you walk in the room. But he's a great dude.
Where do you feel like your accountability had to be applied most this season?
Just doing my job. You know, I was thrown in the fire early. Everything was happening so fast, but I learned the importance of just doing my 1-11 on the defense, and everything would take place.
Last one. Jalen, no, not a rookie. But, you know, in your first year in the league, you're in the Super Bowl and contributing well to your team. I mean, how does it feel just soaking it all in?
I haven't really, like, taken a look at it yet. I mean, I've just so caught in the moment of just winning, because that's, you know, the standard they set in this program. But after the season's over, I'll take a look back at it all, soak it all in. But right now, just putting my head down, trying to get a win each and every week.
Thanks, everybody.
Yep, appreciate y'all.
That might have been the first where, if I didn't make the tackle, it could have been a touchdown. I think it was maybe Jalen Watson that maybe would have gotten him as well. But just glad that we were able to cover him and give our defense a chance to stop the Jaguars. But glad my face mask made him trip.
You don't practice tackling much.
I don't practice wrapping up and tackling, but when we do kickoff return or kickoff fits, I'm always sprinting down the field and trying to get the returners to give me some moves, kind of juke me a little bit so I can at least practice being in the right position. But not, you know, tackling a bag. I don't do a lot of that.
Harrison, how much does your windup still change based on your week one injury?
So when we lost to the Bengals last year,
You know, we lost on a Sunday, I think. Well, I don't know if it was a Saturday or Sunday game. But I was kicking that Thursday. You know, I really attacked the offseason. I wanted to just really work on my technique and hone it in. So I felt like I had a great foundation going into the season. And then when you do have an injury, kind of a fluke thing where the turf just went out from under my plant leg, you kind of start from square one again. So I had to make some adjustments technique-wise because you're not going to feel the same, right? It's going to take some time to get the mobility again, to get the strength again. So I've made some small changes, and I feel like I've really ironed those out, and I've been in a good rhythm the past couple of games. But you have to be able to face adversity and make adjustments. And that was the first time in my career where I've really had to do that, because I do pride myself on having everything kind of figured out going into training camp, and then I'm kind of on autopilot, you know. Right. You know, it's just about the amount of reps you have. So obviously before the injury, I had a ton of reps doing that technique, you know, all off season. And then when the injury happens, I think you just have to keep repping it and figure out what works, what doesn't work. And, you know, it just takes time. And I feel like I'm in a much better place now than I was, obviously, you know, a couple weeks ago.
So what was your state of mind after the injury? Like you said, it was the first time you'd been injured.
It's definitely tough. That was the first time I've had a major injury, and you're not traveling with the team for away games. I'm sitting at the house for home games, you know, with my children watching it on TV. It's a very odd feeling, but I tried to attack every day. I didn't want to think, you know, long term. You know, I mean, there were some days where you're looking outside of practice and you're seeing whoever it is kicking one of the mats, and you just, it hurts because you're like, man, I wish I could go out there and kick. I love to kick. I love doing that, and I can't. I don't know when I'll be able to do that. So I try not to think about, you know, when I can come back, when my ankle will be better, if it'll ever be back to where it was before the injury. And I just tried to focus on day by day getting it better. And it's pretty amazing, you know, now that I am kicking, to look back and think about, you know, how messed up my ankle was and what that injury was, to think that now I'm kicking again. So it's a blessing to be able to do what I'm doing. But it was definitely tough. First time I've faced an injury.
Confident that the conditions, the field conditions will be better this time than.
Yeah, I think the field will definitely be great. Also, when I injured my ankle, I was doing kind of an 11-yard approach on kickoff, so you have a lot more momentum going in there. Now I'm doing a 5-yard approach, so it's much more controlled, and I feel like doing that approach, I can handle a slippery surface. Just the more kind of momentum you have going at the ball, the better the turf has to be, or else you'll potentially slip. So I feel better doing this 5-yard approach. It's a lot safer. Man, it's a crazy story. I know I've talked about the injury, but you have all these aspirations for the season. I felt the best I'd ever felt going into a season. I thought this was going to be my best year, and then boom, week one, you get injured. I don't know if I'm going to even play again the rest of the year. I miss 4 games. I come back. I started off with a 62-yard field goal. You know, I was thinking, man, I'm back. You know, I'm going to, you know, finish this year out and do a great job. And then I had some hiccups in there just trying to figure out the ankle. And I think I just didn't have the endurance, maybe the mobility, to be able to handle week of practice game, all of that. But it's gotten stronger. I feel like I've adjusted the technique how I need to. Then you fast forward, Bengals miss a big kick, Texans miss a big kick, and, you know, it would have been very easy. You know, the temptation for me was just to be upset, kind of quit the process, you know, just throw my hands up, like I can't do anything. But I just kept the faith. I, you know, want to give glory to God. I wouldn't have been able to come in every day and attack every day with a smile, to be blessed and grateful to be in this position. It would have been so easy to, you know, listen to the noise, to keep my head down, not in a good way, you know, just depressed in my feelings about not being, you know, the type of kicker that I know I can be. But I just kept my work ethic. You know, the teammates were great to support me, and they had a lot of trust in me. Obviously, the coaches had a lot of trust in me, and I kept working every day. And then you get to the divisional game. I was able to make those kicks. And then the AFC Championship game, you know, probably biggest kick of my career. it always happens to be the playoff games where they're the game tying or game winning kicks. And to be able to make that through, that was obviously, you know, thanks to God for allowing that kick to go through. I know it sounds weird, but I always pray for God's will to be done. So whether that's a make or a miss, you know, if I'm doing my absolute best to maximize the talents that he gave me, if it doesn't go in, I'm going to keep the process and keep going as much as I can until I'm not kicking footballs anymore. But, yeah, it was a great feeling for that ball to go through. And obviously my head's down. I'm grinding every day now to get ready for the Super Bowl.
The game winner the other night, at what point did you know it was good? Right when it left your foot? Or?
No, I kicked that, and I wonder if the majority of the fans were watching the Jumbotron. I know a lot of the Bengals guys on field goal block didn't even turn around. They were watching the Jumbotron. Because on the Jumbotron, you're thinking, okay, that's going through the uprights. But when you're actually watching the ball, like I was, you're wondering, is it going to have the distance? So even Tommy turned around, and he's coming to hug me. And I'm like, man, we got to make sure this ball goes over the crossbar. And it was a great hit. But again, with that colder weather, you know, the ball PSI drops. It was a great kick off my foot, and then it just kind of floated there. But I wasn't sure it was going to go through. Obviously, the fans and Tommy and a lot of people were already celebrating, which kind of gave me a little bit more confidence. But at the end of the day, it's got to go past the crossbar, which thankfully it did.
Harrison, Coach Reed told us that you were dealing with a high ankle sprain. And I want you to compare this. Mahomes dealt with a high ankle sprain. How remarkable from your point of view was he was able to come back that fast?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely remarkable. I remember going into the facilities after the game, that would have been Sunday, and you know, he was walking great and he was in great spirits. He told me that he had that, and y'all know this, but he had the same injury in 2019, I believe, against the Jaguars, and he didn't miss any time. And he said this injury in the divisional game wasn't as bad as that one. So he's a warrior, and he was able to, you know, not even really be affected by that, you know, much at all. And that just speaks to the type of athlete he is, the type of warrior mentality he has. But that was extremely impressive. And I know we have a lot of guys that are battling through injuries to be able to finish that last game and then play this next game.
Super quick one, Harrison. I think when we talked to you when you first came back, you maybe thought you would never get to be 100% this year because of just all the tweaks and all that stuff. Are you close to 100% or no?
I think I'm kicking the ball as accurately as I was before. It's just a different technique. I've had to adjust. We'll see about the power. You know, it's hard to tell kicking outside and when it's cold, right? Because that 62-yarder right after the injury, it was warm outside. But who knows if I wouldn't have been able to kick that 10 yards farther, you know, before the ankle. So I'll know more in Arizona. But, you know, I feel really good with how I'm kicking the ball. I feel like I'm locked in, kicking the ball right where I want to. And, you know, I'll just continue this momentum going in the Super Bowl. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.